Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Amen. Our announcements this morning. First, I would like to thank those who came out on yesterday for the sanctuary training, and thank some of you went to some of the other training. So thank you for coming out for that. It was a very good turnout from Avon. Amen. Our conversation with children starting this Sunday is going to be reviewed by our Sunday school department. They're going to give us a little glimpse of what they do in the Sunday school with our children. Our Bible study has started last week, so every Wednesday at 6 p.m. we will be meeting here for a Bible study, and we have some extra books for those of you who haven't decided whether or not you're going to join us. If you just join us on this Wednesday, don't worry about a book. We do have extra books for you. And I want to thank this morning a special thanks to our lay leaders. They are doing an amazing job. Lori and Jackie, whenever I look up, I see them. So they are doing their job. Amen. All right. We are going to open up for announcement.
A group of us will be going to the Hub in Liverpool on September 26th. We'll be assembling flood buckets or verifying them. If anyone would like to join us, this is on a Thursday. Please see me and you can join our group that'll be going.
I just wanted to thank and recognize Quinn Kenyon for singing for us this morning during the centering. Quinn sings with the Genesee Valley Children's Chorus and is sharing one of the songs that she learned there. So it's a very special treat. You will love it.
Amen. Let us center.
Thank you. delivered me. He's my branch and I'm the flower. I pray the Lord a happy hour. And should I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I pray
so much. Our call to worship this morning. God beckons God's people.
From foolishness to pride, from mourning and grief.
Come into God's courts with thanksgiving, for this is not the end.
God still reigns. Let us worship God.
Let us pray together. God of timeless grace, you fill us with joyful expectation. Make us ready for the message that prepares the way, that with uprightness of heart and holy joy, we may eagerly await the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Gospel is from the book of John. John's gospel is rather different than the other three. John's witness to Jesus goes its own way, highlighting matters that in the other gospels remain implicit and underdeveloped. The literary style of this witness of Jesus is also unique among the gospels. Here, focuses on the signs of Jesus' identity and mission and on lengthy, theologically rich discourses. At this point in John's gospel, opposition to Jesus' message and popularity was rising, especially among the Pharisees. As it was not yet time in Jesus' ministry to confront them openly, Jesus left Jerusalem and traveled north toward Galilee. Listen to chapter 4 from John's gospel, verses 4 through 26. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw from, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Well, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus replied, "Woman, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Good morning. This morning's anthem is a new anthem to our choral library. And as many of you know, often memorial money is given toward the music program. And so this is a new edition called "I Will Sing Praise," and it was given in memory of Doris Blakely.
I will sing praise to the Lord, my God. I will sing hallelujah.
Amen. So I need some help this morning with this demonstration. So I'm gonna put Bobby on the spot. He doesn't know I'm gonna ask him to do this. So what if I asked you to pick up this whole weight of this good news by yourself without dropping it?
I'll try.
Can you hold it up high? Okay, you can put it back down now.
Okay, I lift it higher, we'll have the Tower of Pisa.
Okay, so what would have been an easier way for us to get that good news lifted up? What would have been easier?
One by one.
One by one. Perfect, Mary. So now I need, how many do I have? 10? So I need 10 more carriers to come and get a Bible and to come up front with me. 10 more. Grab one. Grab one. He is amazing. I just love his spirit. Okay, here we go. We're going to turn to Philippians 1, verse 3, and we're going to read it together. And it starts, I thank my God for every time I think of you, and every time I pray for you all, I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now. And so I am sure that God, who begun this work in you, will carry it on until it is finished, until the day of Jesus Jesus. You are always in my heart, and so it is only right for me to feel as I do about you. For you have all shared with me in this privilege that God has given me. Both now that I am in prison, and also while I was free to defend the gospel and establish it firmly. God is my witness that I tell the truth when I say that my deep feeling for you all comes from the heart of Christ Jesus himself. Amen. You may put your Bibles on the front pew, please. Thank you so much for sharing the good news. Can we give them a hand? Our topic this morning, God is not done. He's not done with us individually. He's not done in our families. And he is not done with the church. We had our friend, Pastor Larry Beeman, come last week, and he talked about, why bother? And he talked about how he is continuing to follow because he feels that that's the right way to go. And I think most of us here, we kind of feel the same way. That we have found and we believe that the good news is the way to go, and we're going to keep going. So here in Philippians chapter 1, we have just brief history. Who is writing is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul at this time is now in prison. This is a prison letter that he's writing. So Timothy and Paul are together at this time. Paul is in prison, but he has favor with the Roman government. He's under house arrest. So he's able to eat and bring in friends, but he's still confined. And he's sending this letter to Philippi. Now, Philippi, the Philippian church, was one of his favorite church, close to his heart. He really loved this church. In other times where Paul was addressing other churches, he was warning them against one thing or the other. It wasn't as nice as the Philippian letter. What he was saying to them was, he was thanking them. The reason that the Apostle Paul was so excited about this church is because they were sharing with him in the gospel. And that's what I wanted to prove with the demonstration, how one man cannot carry the gospel. It's going to take all of us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. If we believe it, if it has helped us, then we should help others. So Paul at this time is excited because even though he's in bondage, he knows that the work of Jesus Christ is continuing. So he says, I thank my God every time I think of you, and I pray for you with joy. So he's in prison and he's not complaining. He's praying. Have any of you ever been through a low point and it seems like all you can do is pray? Can you imagine being in prison and being thankful?
maybe prison in your mind. Have you ever been down, feel lost? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt in bondage in your mind? Scripture says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in the midst of this bondage, and some of us have experienced it, in the midst of us going through, we have still at times find ourselves having a joy, not a happy running around playing joy, but Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's that deep contentment, that deep, you know, I can laugh at a joke even though I'm going through. I can see life and situation even though I'm going through. I can see good and bad even though I'm going through. So how do we get this joy that Paul had? Where does it come from? The good news tells us that in God's presence, there is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from spending time with God. I was sharing with somebody the other day, and a person was like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And I was thinking, I want the prayer, but I was thinking, I'm not sharing it because I want you to pity me. I'm in a real good place right now because I have learned that no matter what I'm going through, like the Apostle Paul, I'm going to bless the Lord. The Apostle Paul at one time was in prison, chained up. And he decided that, you know what, though they slay me, yet will I praise you. He and Silas prayed and praised God at midnight. And they did it so heavenly till the prison shook. And shackles begin to fall off the prisoners. The prison guard came to Christ. Because of the joy of two men who decided that, yea, though he slay me, yea, though I'm going through this bondage, I'm going to bless the Lord. For those of us who feel, well, I'm not in a dark place right now. Well, you're in the perfect place to praise God and seek him for somebody who's in a dark place right now, paying it forward. That's my objective, and that should be our objective, paying it forward. What God did for me, this joy that I have that is inside of me, despite what I go through, despite my faults, despite my mistakes, it helps me to get back up and keep pressing, because I'm no longer looking at what I'm going through. Now I'm looking at a bigger picture, getting this gospel out. I have to get this gospel out. This is good news in here. There's some stuff in here that's very controversial. So here we have the Apostle Paul. He's thankful for this congregation of Philippians because they were continuing with him the work of Jesus Christ. He realizes that I might die. I might be gone tomorrow, but if I do, he that begun a good work in you, that's Jesus Christ. Paul is letting him know this has nothing to do with me. This gospel, somebody else is going to carry it on when I leave here. But God is going to complete the work individually and as the church universal. Doesn't always look like it. And how dare we say the name of Jesus in public or in school or in a grocery store? The gospel is still under attack. It wasn't Paul that was under attack, because when Paul was crucifying Christians, nobody was putting him in jail. He was a conspiracy to murder. But as soon as he picked up the good news and decided that he would share it with the world, they wanted to imprison him. And don't think that once you start sharing this word, you don't even have to say it. Once you start living right, you know that, right? That sometimes when you try to do the right thing, you're ostracized. Am I right? Have any of you ever experienced trying to live right and being ridiculed and mocked for doing the right thing? It happens. But God said in his word, I am doing a great work and I am going to complete it. So whatever it is Whatever area you're in right now, whatever season, know that God is going to work everything out. Know that you can go through it with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you would just lean and depend on the good news, everything is going to be all right. And he that begun a good work in us, he will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God, we thank you that you are not done. In the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of what's going on in the world, in the midst of persons dying, in the midst of, oh God, hunger, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of racism, in the midst of everything, we know that you're not done with us. So we thank you on this hour for this opportunity to gather together in your name. And we ask, oh God, as we leave here, that there may have been something said to touch our hearts, that we will go back out into our areas of influence and let people know that you are not done with us. The good news will continue to be carried by us. So God, we thank you for allowing us to be carriers of the good news. And we go forth on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been God's Not Done with Pastor Mia Richardson from September 15th, 2019. From times of joy in our lives to times of sorrow, God is always with us. The work of Jesus Christ is continuing in God's creation, and he is going to complete his transforming work in each of us. But it takes all of us to share the good news with others.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.